Because our time is rapidly running out, we're going to just do a little Bikias today to cover some more ground. So we're going to look at Simen Kovav, even though we haven't really had a chance to prepare it. The beginning of Simen Kovav discusses an issue that only comes up according to Sfarim. Right? Chaticha, look at Simen Kovav. Chaticha shabola iser v'ein bashishim levatlo. Right? So a chaticha that has iser, it's not 6 times the iser, so that chaticha becomes treif. Shenafa l'kedera, then falls into a kedera. So here, most of us here are Ashkenaz. It's obviously what Ashkenaz would say. Let's say you have a chaticha. The chaticha was, here you have an iser, that's 1, goes into a chaticha, that is 20. Right, a chaticha 20 was bala iser, it wasn't batal, because it was 1 and 20. And then that chaticha falls into a kedera. So it's clear that for Ashkenazim, how big does the kedera have to be in order to stay kosher? 60 times 20, 21, let's call it 20, let's assume the Isser absorbed in and you don't see it anymore. It needs to be 1,200, right? That's 60 times 20. Because it is Hanan. For Sfardim, who have no Hanan B'Shari Surin, obviously all you need is 60, right? So that's what he says here. The Mechaber is obviously speaking according to the Mechaber. It only asks the Gedera in accordance with how much Isser is in it. I take the bet. Sfardim only need 40. Why? Because if what's in the kedera plus the original chaticha, shishu gnei yisur v'lu 60 times the yisur mutter mashem kedera, then the kedera is mutter. Meaning, since the chaticha didn't become chanan, the chaticha also counts as heter. Right? So therefore, as long as it falls in the kedera with 40, the chaticha itself is 20, the kedera is 40, between them it's 60. 60 is about the 1. That's for Sfardim. That you wouldn't need a new simon for. Because we know Machlok is Sfardim and Ashkenazim about Hanan, and this is just an illustration. The main reason we have this simon is for the next point. Let's say, for Sfardim, here. Let's first talk about for Sfardim. Right? So for Sfardim, if the Kedera is less than 40, then it's all usher. Now, let's say the Kedera is less than 40, the Kedera is only 30, then you don't have Shishim Kedera, right? Then it's all trade. If the Kedera is 40 or more, then the kedera is mutter. Muteris, it's a kedera. Meaning the pot and the chon that are filled into is mutter. Here's an interesting question. What about the chaticha? Does the chaticha become mutter again in this case? Or does the chaticha stay usher? In a case, again, this is all according to the Sfarim, there's no chanan, right? This chaticha wasn't chanan. The chaticha is still a mutter chaticha. Does the chaticha in this case, the kedera is mutter, right? What about the chaticha? Does the chaticha also become mutter and we say all the treif leaves the chaticha and this bottle and the whole cholent? Or do we say no, the chaticha stays usher?
Is this different than we had in Basim Chalav, Chalav Shenafal Chalav? Basar and Machlokas between the Ri and Rashi, whether it was the top of the, whether the piece was...
No, let's say this is totally inside, for the so we don't get into that Machlokas. Let's say
right, so it's totally inside. Didn't the Sfarim in there say that the Basar was...
No, but that was when it was inside, when the drop first landed on it. So it immediately dissipated through. Here, the drop landed on it this morning, and now it falls in Bashol this afternoon. That might be different. Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, the case it was all mutters. is when the hakil was inside the chulent, read Rashi, however you work it, when the milk first landed on it, then it goes straight through. Over here, the kederes go leyaser yesterday. One is showing the now this chaticha has a bli of Isra from yesterday. Now it pulls into chulent. Will it come back out once it's already stuck there? Once it's already been kona shvisa? Not so pashut. So this is a famous machlokas between, if you would look in the Torah here, to the Rashba in the Torah. The Rashba says Usr, and the Torah says Mutter. This is the machlokas, if you look in the Torah, that's what the action is. The Torah quotes the Rashba says, but the Chaticha stays Usr even for Spartan.
This is machlokas of Esha Osoto?
Yes, in the language of the Achronim, correct. Some of the Rabbi Kivya Iger debates whether that should be the language, that shouldn't be the language, the Lysa, that's the language. Correct. The Rashba stays Usr. And the Torah says, why should it stay Usr? If there's no Hanan, it means Chaticha is fundamentally Mutter. It just has its Bliya stuck inside it. Once the Bliya goes out into the rest of the pot, the Chaticha becomes Usr. It becomes, so the Chaticha becomes Mutter again. What the code word, the language which the Achronim use for these Shitas, the Sfardim, they hold, right, that there's no Hanan B'Shari Surin. Right, that being the Rashba, being the Torah, hold there's no Chanan B'Shari Surin. What's the phrase they use here? For the Torah, they say, no Chanan and Epsher L'Sokhto Motor. This is based, one second, Isaac, on the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Kof Ches has two phrases. It says Epsher L'Sokhto, and then it says Chanan. Says if Epsher L'Sokhto is Motor, then no Chanan. If Epsher L'Sokhto is also, then wouldn't be Chanan. So it seems to me there's two different stages. The big machlokes is shown in the Torah. There are 12 different pirushim, exactly what Epsher L'Sokhto means, what Hanan means. The way the Achronim use it in the Siman is that, I'll explain in a second, no Hanan, but Epsher L'Sokhto is Aser. You see the way the Achronim here use this phrase, they say Hanan means when the piece turns into Isra itself. For sure it's fired and the piece doesn't turn into Isra itself, right? Now you don't need 60 to negate the Chaticha in the Cholet. You don't even need 60 in the Cholet to negate the Bliya, because the Chaticha is Mitzari. The Chaticha becomes part of the 60 that's Mavata the Bliya, right? If it pulls in the Cholet to 40, the Chaticha is 20, that's 60 Mavata the Bliya. The question, that means there's no Chanan. It's not Nasas the Bema. Enachem is not Nasas the Bema. The question is, does it Imanish become Mutter to eat again? That's called Etchel Sokhto. Can you squeeze out the Isser? So the Torah says, since it does become the Vela, Shad Masugya, since it does become the Vela, Etchel Sokhto Mutter, if you squeeze out the Isser, it's Mutter. And when you now put in the pot, the Isser gets dissipated through the whole pot and becomes Mutter. And the Rashi says, it doesn't become the Vela, Etchel Sokhto Usser. But you can't, you can't squeeze out the Isser, it still stays Usser. So now we just have to, I've been a little vague. I'll take a question from Isaac and then try to get to the bottom of it.
Just a question. When we say Etchel L'Sokhto, are we saying that there's no mixture, there's no Tavrolis because you can take it out by definition? Or are we saying, really, there was a Tavrolis, but the fact that you can take it out makes it that you're not allowed to eat it? Is there a Tavrolis going on? I just don't understand what we're saying by Etchel L'Sokhto.
By Usher or Mutter?
By the concept.
Okay, so I will come back to it in a moment.
Mashma little from the Tur and the Rashba. The Tur doesn't understand the word the Rashba says. The Beis Yosef says he doesn't understand the word the Tur says. So saying that it has to do with Epsher L'Sokhto, means the Tur, not the Rashba. Not the Maccabi use those terminology too hard to do.
Okay, I admit it when I first wrote these words. This is the code language that the Achronim use to represent these Shitas. I'm not promising you that it actually has to do with that language. So yeah, this is the phrase, the catchphrase that the Achronim use. It may be just the catchphrase that Achronim decided to use that the Torah might not have agreed with.
The Rashba, the Torah, we shall say, also understood the concept of Esher L'Sokhto, at least as well as the Achronim understood, none of them use it. The Torah says he doesn't understand the Rashba at all.
I understand.
He says he doesn't understand.
And we'll try to get to the bottom of this. Okay, Enochanami, Zev is absolutely right. But Lemaisa, since a lot of the Sfarim will open and the Achronim, they will use these phrases, we have to know that they're associated with this. Again, I'm not promising to come out of that line anymore, but you have to know that that's what you're going to find if you open modern-day Sephardic, if you were from 100 or 200 years ago, that that's the phrases you'll find. Now, let's get down to the Svaras a little. Well, before we get to the Svaras, let's see how we Paskin. We Paskin like the, well, Zev already told us, right? The Torah says, I don't know what the Rosh was talking about, and the Beis Yosef says, I don't know what the Torah is talking about. Let's go to the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, where are we up to? We're up to, right by all the Sukkotans. Aval haticha atzma asura. The haticha atzma stays also like the Rashba. Lefisha isra shaba eina nifla mimena legamre. Because the isra that's in it does not totally go out. This is the psak of the Mechaber.
The same svar that we use time and again.
Okay, good.
Previous simana.
Okay. And the Ramah just adds, says the Ramah, he just adds, the chain echard lokum shekos elsim in Sadi Beis daf os chatichum untera. So if you remember, we pointed out in Sadi Beis that this is true. In Sadi Beis, the Mechaber contradicted himself, and the Shachter tried to work very hard to get it to like a different page, so it wouldn't contradict. Sadi Beis, the Mechaber seemed to contradict himself and write like the Torah, but in any case, we Paskin, like the Mechaber here, like the Rashba, not like, he sounds like some in Sadi Beis, like the Torah. Just continuing, as opposed to something which is liquid that gets mixed together. This is all talking about a solid chaticha, as opposed to a liquid. In a liquid, obviously, you can't talk about, there is no chaticha, right? There is no piece. Liquid's all mixed, right? So if you have 1 ounce of treif wine in 20 ounces of oil, and that 20 ounces of oil falls into a 40-ounce soup, I mean, you can't find any pieces anymore. Right? So then, shim nafal dam ki yuzul tachrotav shel heter, blood or some other treif falls into kosher gravy, and it was less than 60, and therefore became usher. Then there was more liquid was added by accident until there was 60 to mivatel the dam kulo mutter. And this is obvious, you have no choice. Meaning, if you have 1 ounce of blood and 20 ounces of chicken soup, and then that gets mixed in and now it's 60 ounces of chicken soup, then of course all mutter, because you can't find which was the original chicken soup, which wasn't. All the liquid gets mixed together, there are no separate pieces. So therefore, it's all mutter. Meaning there's not shy to it if she'll soak the liquids. There's no piece of anything, just all the liquids are equally mixed. So here, this is a double pushet for Sephardim. If you have a liquid iser, one, and then that gets mixed into liquid heter, 20, and then that falls into a soup, right, more liquid. Then for Sephardim, it's obvious if soup is 40 or more, it's all mutter. Why is it all mutter? It's all mixed together. There are no separate pieces that you can say this piece is us or this piece is mutter. Okay, we'll get that. Now, let us just try to figure out what is the machlokas between the Rashba and the Torah actually about. Forget about what catchphrases. What are they actually arguing about? So here it becomes very tricky. The Rashba says something like, well, the Isser doesn't totally go out of the Heter. Another phrase the Rashba used for this, ain hagola ba'ukhli. You can't do hagola to foods. It's not like you can get all the Isser out of foods. So what does the Torah think? Right, I mean, what did the Rashba say? The Rashba is right. Meaning by pots, we have masur something called hagola. You put a pot of boiling water, all the Isser goes out. It gets clean as a newborn baby. Obviously, that's very dirty. it gets clean as a brand new pot, right? Ein hagola ba'uchlin, as the Rambam Mechaber says, the Isser doesn't totally. This chaticha, there's no hagola ba'uchlin. You can't get all the Isser out of this chaticha. We have no such process,
right? So it seems like Rambam is saying the concept of bittul is really a vidyevet, like. It's only if you can't take it out, then you can rely on bittul. But if you can take it out, then it's fine. Then it's a problem.
No, I don't think that's what he's saying, because it's already been the effort. You'll lose a chaticha. It could be worth a lot of money. It might be more complicated than that. What does the Torah say back? And the Torah says, hold on a second. Didn't you just say that when the chaticha falls into the soup, the iser goes into the whole soup, and therefore you need 60 in the soup, connected to the Isser? Didn't we just say when a chaticha doesn't leave Isser and falls into a stew or a soup, that Isser goes with the whole stew and soup? So it leaves the chaticha. So what's the machlokas here? Even after you read all the Rashbas, even after you read the Torah and the Beis Yosefs and the Mechavers, the Achronim point out, if you want to find the Sikkum of this in the Achronim, you look in the Prima Gadin, Sadi Bey's Sifsei Dasim Kanyur Aleph has a Sikkum of this. The Achronim point out there are two different ways to understand the Machlokas Torah and Rashba. There are two ways to understand the Machlokas Torah and Rashba in the Achronim. The two ways are they arguing about Metzias or are they arguing about Din? What are the two ways? One way is what the Gros says. First, you'll take my word for it, then we'll look inside, and the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is much clearer than even. So let's call the Aruch HaShulchan. What is the Machlokes Rashba Vitor? One way is what the Aruch HaShulchan, it's right here. The Aruch HaShulchan says, that's what the Gra sounds like. And the Gra does use this this terminology.
Although I meant it's a little clear.
Is that Cholkim Bintzius? What is the nature of this machlokes? According to the Torah says, when you cook a chaticha with a blia, dissipates evenly throughout the kedera. Kedera meaning the soup. He says, what happens when you cook a piece of the blia? That blia, it got into the piece through cooking, goes out of this piece through cooking also, and it dissipates evenly throughout the stew. Therefore, if there's 60 kenego, it dissipates evenly in 60, and it's batal. Basically, just like cooking gets the blia into a chaticha, cooking gets the blia out of a chaticha. It doesn't get all the blia out of the chaticha, because it dissipates back into itself also. But it only dissipates back into itself proportionately. So if this pot is 100 ounces and 1 ounce of blia, that blia will spread throughout the pot. That there'll be the same amount of blia in the original chaticha, the same amount of blia in the water, the same amount of blia in the beans, the same amount of blia in the barley. It dissipates evenly. It totally leaves... It doesn't totally leave the chaticha because it dissipates into the chaticha also. But it doesn't stay in the chaticha any more than it goes to any other part of the stew. Right? There is... It doesn't stay in the chaticha any more than it goes to the rest of the kedera.
If this is the case where the isur dropped on the chaticha before the chaticha entered the pot?
Correct.
Not simultaneously?
Correct. Simultaneously, then Zev pointed out that would be back to Simon Sadi B's.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, this isn't true of the taste of the chaticha itself, right? If I have a piece of ham and I drop it into my soup, more ham taste will stay in that original piece of ham, and it won't dissipate evenly through the taste. Because it is the ham, and of course it's going to retain more of its own taste, perhaps, than will go through the whole soup. But over here, we're not talking about the natural taste of the chaticha. The natural taste of the chaticha is kosher. It's a chaticha of kosher chicken. It just had an ounce of blood fall on it. That ounce of blood is an external thing. It was nibbling to the chicken through heat. So if you put the chicken into the soup and cook it, it'll go out through heat. And there'll be no more blood in the chaticha than there will be in the rest of the soup. And therefore, if it's mispash, it dissipates through 60, it'll totally disappear. What does the Rashba hold? The Rashba holds, if they argue in Metzias, the Rashba holds no. Once the blia was nivla into the chaticha, and to address Zev's concern, beforehand, right? We're not talking about it's full of chatzibah now. That would be Siman Sadi Beis. Once it was already nivla and chatzibah beforehand, ein hagala ba'ochlen. It won't necessarily just, it's stuck in that chatzibah. It is stuck there, and maybe when you cook it, it'll go out into the whole soup. That's why you need shishi kenegdo, because maybe it'll spread through the whole soup. But maybe it won't. Maybe it'll stay in the chaticha. And maybe it will not dissipate stay inside the chaticha. So, and therefore, might still have the time iser. Because he just didn't see his face. Once something gets absorbed beforehand, even though it's only absorbed through heat, there's no kabbalah kachpolta of white foods. Once it got absorbed, let's say a drop of chaylev or dan fell into the steak, and you put the steak into your soup or your stew, it won't necessarily leave. Maybe it'll stay there. Maybe once it got stuck there, it'll get stuck there. And therefore, even if you cook this steak in your soup, maybe the bleed will go into your soup, but maybe it won't. Maybe it'll stay in the steak, and therefore that steak is awesome because it might still have a taste of treif. That's the mitzias way of understanding the machlokas. The Gra sort of sounds like that. If you look at the third Gra here, he says, first of all, he uses the same terminology. It says, Af, Avokhatich, etc. Af the Inchanan Bashari Surin, according to Svaradim, of course. We're all Svaradi so far. The Efshel Asokhto in Chiluk, he uses this terminology. No Chanan Bashari Surin, but as far as Efshel Asokhto, we're Machmer Bashari Surin. And we say, Asr, Koshikatsu, Ran Basofer Kalabasar. The Efshel Asokhto Chanan Shnei and Yadamheim, Efshel Asokhto Chanan are separate. The Zeo Shem Rigmor Ichasavar Efshel Softo Motor Amai Vichuli Vein Dever Achol Oshayich Amai. That's the Efed. You'd say this for Efshel Softo, then why wouldn't you say this for Hanan? You only say, well, why wouldn't one affect the other if they're two separate things? Meaning, they're not two words for the same thing. They're two separate concepts. And just like they say about the Kal, that even after you cook the Kal and it's Batzel B'Shishin, the Kal itself is still Usher. Remember the udder with the milk. Why? The Rashi explains, because maybe there's still a lot of milk left in the chal. Maybe all the milk didn't leave the chal. Says the same thing the Rashi would say here. Just like the Rashi says, maybe a lot of milk stayed in the chal and it didn't dissipate. Maybe a lot of the bliya stayed in the schaticha and didn't dissipate. And the Aruch HaShulchan is very clear on that.
So just to understand,
the
Rashi is saying, not that it's definitely going to stay inside the
chaticha. That it might.
That we're not sure.
So exactly. Because if it definitely stayed inside the chaticha, right, then it would never shape up the soup, even if there was less than shishin. So it might go into the soup, that's why you need shishin in the soup, but it might stay in the chaticha, that's why the chaticha is also, that's why that maybe is important. Okay, that's one way of learning the machlokas. However, Rabbi Yehuda Eger seems to have a different way of learning the machlokas. He seems to assume they're arguing in din. What do we mean by that? Is that everyone agrees that the blia dissipates evenly throughout the kedera and the chaticha? No longer tastes like iser. Everyone agrees to that. Everyone agrees to that. So what's their machlokas? Machlokas is din. Says the Torah said, therefore, the chaticha is muteris. Now the Torah is very straightforward. What did the Rashba say? The Rashba says, hold on a second. It dissipates evenly throughout the whole stew. Is any blias iser left in the chaticha? Sure, just less than a 60th, right? Because if it dissipates through the whole stew,
it dissipates through itself also, right?
So the, let's say this a little better, because the iser inside it is less than a 60th. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says no. The Rashba says there's a din.
Why is the Torah treating
the Chatzikah as an independent entity? The Torah is not treating the Chatzikah as an independent entity. It is an independent entity. You could pick it up and hold it in your hand.
But it's not part of
Tarot? I mean, you could... You see it, right? You see it. You see this Chatzikah in the stew. The Tam is mixing together, but it is its own piece.
Right, that's his question. When we calculated the beetle, did it take into account the Chatzikah?
Yes!
That's the problem. Because when it was in the pot, the Chorah, the Rav gave a shtempel that it's kosher. If he gave a shtempel that it's kosher, it can't come up. That's the problem of the Torah.
That's what the Torah says to me. Yes.
That's the,
I know. And what did the Rav say?
Understand the
right, so the Torah says, after all, the Torah says the Chatikah counted towards the 60th Heter, so how can it be Usher? The answer is, what would the Rashba say? According to this, they would say, it counted towards the 60, because if the time was dissipated out, then it counted towards the 60. But maybe the time was dissipated throughout the pot. Maybe it didn't. Maybe the time stayed there. Since maybe the time stayed there, meaning we only counted towards 60 for the maybe that the Bliya went out. But maybe the Bliya stayed in.
That's not an answer. Even there is no
beef.
That explain?
No. If the bliya went out evenly, then you count the chatichah with the stew, and it went everywhere evenly. If the chatichah stayed, and the stew is mutter. If the bliya stayed in the chatichah, then it stayed in the chatichah, and the stew is mutter. So either way, the stew is mutter. You can count it to make the stew mutter, but through a miman of shach. If it stayed in the chatichah, it's mutter because it never went to the stew. And if it dissipated, it's mutter because you have 60. Keep in mind, that don't mean black and white. It could have like half stayed and half dissipated.
Where the Kibbutz is saying that everyone agreed that it dissipated evenly.
Right. So then you understand why it counts towards the Shishim, right? Oh, but then why does Rashba Aser? Okay. There's a din that since it was treif, or let's say better, since it was a tarubis asur originally, and there is still some lias iser left in the chaticha, even though it's less than a 60th, the chatichah stays usher. That's, he's saying, etchel sof, the usher is a din. Really, the chatichah doesn't taste treif, because the treif tastes dissipated evenly everywhere. And really, there's less than a 60th isher left in here. But once it was usher originally, before it fell in, and it still has a cold shuv of Isser left inside, it stays Aser al pidin. Let me read that to you in the first Rabbi Kiva Eger. If you find it on your page, but still, if you take this chatikah out of the stew and mix it with other chatikahs, it's batal. It's not a chatikah lus kabe, because it's not intrinsically Aser, like we said. Etc. If this piece of chatikah is mixed with two other pieces, it's batal barov. Because we're not worried you might cook it with the other two and it'll give a tam a trait to them. Because the tam of this chaticha, even for Ashkenazim that it's chanan, it's just min b'mino with the other chatichos, and that's not a problem. There's no chash, just deraisa. V'the dilma, here's the important line. V'the dilma leka shishim negatam ha'isr shenivla b'heter. Maybe you're afraid if it gets mixed with the other two pieces, they're not 60 times the flea of trace that's left inside. Because after all, even though there's no chanan, the chatichah stays treif, so there must be a lot of bliyas iser inside. Aren't we choshesh that the bliyas stayed inside? We're not choshesh that all lot of bliya stayed inside. We're only choshesh that a tiny bit of bliya stayed inside. The eno choshesh leteiro. If a tiny bit of bliya stayed inside, why does it become butter? Because you can't taste it anymore. No, there's a rule that as long as a tiny drop of bliya stayed inside, it doesn't go back to the mutter keno lifakulo. Because 100% of the isser didn't leave. Meaning, no matter how good you cook it, and even if you cook this chatika in a million ounce stew, there'll still be one millionth of isser in it. Right? So therefore, what he says is as long as it's not 100% clean, as long as it still has 1% or a half a percent or a hundredth of a percent or a millionth of a percent of isser in it, and it was usser, it stays usser. That's a din, not a metzias. Ayin, etc. What? That was in the Aruch HaShulchan.
Just now you explained. I guess the thing was Batel, so you explained that no, the Manasha, if it's going to happen, when it happened, didn't go out, so it's no problem. That's what you said according to the Shia. Right? So if the only Heter is because of the Manasha, and you have the piece itself, so you don't have the Manasha, so you don't need to swallow.
No, I meant that in the Aruch HaShulchan.
Let's come back to the question.
According to the Eger, why is it with Starif Leheter? Because the Isser dissipates throughout. You want to know how diluted the Isser became? You're with Starif the Chaticha and the stew. But nonetheless, there's a din that the Chaticha stays Osir.
So I come back to the same question I asked. If you think that answer is not the right Shita, in the Rav, Paskin on this path, Paskin, the thing was kosher.
Except for that chatikah.
No, when it was inside, you can't say that. Was that
yes, you can.
When it's inside the pot,
yes, when it's in the pot, the Rav said, you can eat the whole thing except for that piece. Why not?
Why not? Because you just said that you calculated the beetle based on the fact that the chatikah is mutar. So you can't say that it's usher.
No, let's review the Shiva of the Rashba. Based on the fact that the chatikah is not intrinsically usher, it's not chanan, but nonetheless, it doesn't actually become mutter. Okay, basically, this is the lay of the land. We have machlokas, Torah, and Rashba for sure, as Zev was pointing out. The Torah is the straighter svara. The Torah is the easier svara. For svara, it's not chanan, there's just bliya in there. So the bliya goes out and dissipates everywhere and becomes mutter. However, the Mechaber pass like the Rashba, this, what the Achronim call, Chaticha Afu Lonasas Nevela, Avol Efril Soto Aser. Why? It's not clear. If you look in the Rashba, in different parts he sounds like, different places in the Torah of Bayis, he sounds different. It's not clear what his Svar is. Either Svar is Benzius. He thinks we can't be sure all the bliya leaves this Chaticha because it might be stuck there. Or you think, no, Benzius, the bliya does leave the Chaticha. And only 1/100th or 1/200th or 1/1000th stays there. But there's a din that once chaticha becomes usher because of a bliya, it stays usher as long as there's a kol shel bliya left. And there's always a kol shel bliya left, because like, why wouldn't it dissipate to itself? Ein hagolah ba'uchlin, can't get 100% out. Either way, lemaisa we pass it like the Rashba. Lemaisa we pass it like the Rashba.
Does the Aruch HaShulchan, the Feresh, disagree with the case of Akiva Eger brought down after the Nafkamina between the...
He should, but I don't remember. Should look it up. He should. Right? Logically. Okay.
So why is the Chatikah, why do you say afterwards that the Chatikah becomes the root of the
road? What the Akiva meant is the side point. If you then take out this Chatikah and it gets mixed up with two other Chatikahs that look the same... It's batel berov because yavish b'yavish is batel berov. Even the chaticha is usher, it's still batel berov. He says, so what's the problem? That bliyat isser might give taste to all three chatichas? The answer is it can't, because it's only a kol shehu. That's where Rabbi Akiva's point. That it's only a kol shehu, and it can't give taste to the other chatichas. Meaning, what's the nafkamina between these two ways of the Rashba? If that chaticha, you take it out, and then mix it with something else. According to Rabbi Akiva, it only has a kosher bliya, it won't answer anything else. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, it might have a lot of bliya. Maybe it could answer something else.
According to Rabbi Akiva, it's so small, why does it answer itself?
That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. It's a special din. It's a special din that any chaticha which became usher through a bliya stays usher even though that bliya is now not tasteable anymore. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. It's a Chiddush, I admit. I admit it's a Chiddush.
They're going to say that even according to the sheet of the Tanki, because of the Rabban.
I don't know, because pashtus, we don't pass like that, Chita. So, I can't promise you. And the Rashba, even though there's a whole deal in Sadi Ches and the Shach, Pashas, Paskins, Tom Capers, no Raisa. Even though maybe it's Mesopet. Okay. This is the Machlokes, Rashba, and Tur. If you remember, just at the risk of confusing us more.
What you mean in the Chatikah? The Chatikah is in the Raisa and the Rabban.
That is a great question. According to the Derech that it's a Machlokes Metzias, Lachor, it's a Din Doraisa. Metzias, and some might have a taste of it, so that would be Din Doraisa. According to the Derech of Rabbi Kiva Eger, so I saw in some of the later Hurna wants to say maybe that's only Chumer Derabanan.
Doesn't he maybe? How could it possibly be a Doraisa? The thing was Bata.
That's the, who is it? 1 second.
And if you have a suffix, it should be moved up.
Half a second. Yes, the Baragola says it's only Midrabanan. The Baragola, actually, right here, the third Baragola in our Simmons, says it's only Midrabanan. The stomach, he's following the Zerach of Rabbi Kiva Eger.
The Nachman you said the Zerach of Rabbi Kiva is 1 ounce or a whole shoe of an ounce?
Exactly. Let's say then that Chaticha falls into a very, very tiny stew that's only 20 or 30.
Right?
So according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, of course it won't answer anything else. It only has a kol shoe in it. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, no, maybe it still has an ounce in it. It could still ask for something else. Like maybe you'll cook that one more than you cook this one. Maybe you'll cook it at a higher temperature and more will come out. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger implies in the Nachkamina. Okay, now, at the risk of confusing everyone, this was similar to a machlokas we had earlier that we discussed in terms of if you cut onions with a milchik knife and put them in your chicken soup, are the onions mutter or not? Right, you remember this case? Cut onions with milchik knife, and then cook them in chicken soup. This is not an unreasonable scenario that can actually happen. And the soup is 60 times the knife blade. So therefore, whatever tom of flesh is in these of milk is in the onions is buffalo in the soup. What's the question? Forget about Rikvi we saw. Machlokes achron we saw was, can you eat the onions? What the Kresi Uplesi and the Aruch HaShulchan said, that the soup is mutter, but the onions are usser, because the milk taste might be stuck in the onions. Right? That's the same Aruch HaShulchan. Right, says the Aruch HaShulchan, just like over here, that piece itself is usser. Likewise, in the case of the onions and the chicken soup, the onions themselves are usser.
Not that it goes out and then it comes back in.
No, because then it would be batel b'shishim, and it wouldn't. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Rove Achronim said, even the onions are mutter. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, just like here, the chatich itself is usher to the bliyah stock. Why couldn't they use the onions in the chowder or the chicken soup? The onions themselves are usher. Because the bliyah milk gets stuck there. Now they've been cooked in chicken soup and there was this bliyah milk stuck in them. So they don't ask for the chicken soup, but they themselves are usher. However, Rove Poskim, we pointed out, Achron said even the onions are mutter, right? We saw the Maamar Lublin and the Shach and the Taz and the Ramah, etc. Why? So the Achronim give two answers. Either like Rabbi Kiva Eger here, and the special din is only for Isur Bala. One way of explaining is that no, they hold like Rabbi Kiva Eger, but see us all the taste, nothing stuck in the onion, it all goes out of the onions. Over here, once something was usher, there's a special din that it stays usher, because it had an isser. Over there, the onions were never usher, they just had a blea of milk. Milk and onions is an usher, there's a blea's heter. So once the blea's heter, there's no special din that it's usher, because really the blea goes out. That's the mainstream. Another derech is, or even lefi Aruch HaShulchan, um, It's a maybe. Okay, I don't know if our time's right. Even on his own, it's maybe the Bleer will get stuck, maybe it won't. And therefore, we go by Chazaka. Whatever's Usser stays Usser. Whatever's Mutter stays Mutter, because it's a maybe. And therefore, since the onions used to be Mutter, we say they stay Mutter, because maybe the Bleas will go out. Okay, that's a more difficult reading. The simplest shot is this might be an akumina between these two ways of reading the Rashba. If the Rashba's been seeing the Bleas stuck in the air, then the Blea, the milk is stuck in the onions, and you have to throw your onions in the garbage. If it's a special din that Isser stays Usser, then...
The great Lady says that the special din applies even when things that aren't. No, he must hold that it's not special din. It's Mitzvahs. He'd have to hold it's Mitzvahs. You'd have to look at him here and see him as saying it's Mitzvahs.
So it passes this could be enough Kamina. If you like the Rosh Shulchan and the Gra, then Blias get stuck. The Blias and milk are stuck in the onions. These onions are treif. If you like the Rosh Shulchan, no, Blias go out. It's just a special din that something that has a Blias Isser stays Usser. Over here, the onions never had a blea of anything. They had a blea of milk, and then the milk went out. They were never trained, so there should be. So there's no special din, and that's why the onions are kosher. Halacha l'maisa, we said in that case, Ana Yom Azev, this case is a little controversial. But, Nirlin is daiti, since it's not so posh that the knives make your onions milkic in the first place, then I think we can be mako, like the rogue poskim against the crazy place in the Aruch HaShulchan.
Why don't my knives make your onions?
Because remember, there it probably ain't been Yomo, and that was Machlok Zeber Truman Maram, and when about Nafarnad, if it seems like there are 2 days in Rashi, maybe there should be a head to Nafarnad, and as the mayor says, maybe the moral needs to know not onions, and therefore, it's Yesh Makam Lahakel.
So according to the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding of the Rashba La'alacha, this Chaticha could continue falling in different theres and Asim?
Less
than 60 Misafet, there's Kulo?
Yeah, I think so. You asked me if I saw that in the Aruch HaShulchan. I said, I know you have to go look. But
I know, I recently said that Kamina. I thought that Kamina is much less. I thought that Kamina is like Gabe Chaticha Atzma, but afterwards it won't be Batzal.
That's what Rick Vager says, but it's totally Abba. Because he said it's totally whether if you cook it with the other, you would make the Masr.
You could say you only say Lechum of Chaticha Atzma, not Gabe Akdera.
Okay, yeah.
Not Mitam Imanav Shach, like Rebbe was saying to Zev. Just Mitam the Kdera itself. You don't have enough Koach to.
Okay, maybe I didn't understand what you were just asking me. Properly. What did you ask me if there was an afkamina?
If there's a... The way an afkamina is that if the Bliyan Chaticha is more... Originally was more than a 60, then this new Kdera, and it falls in, so then we say... the first Kdera is more than 60, then the second Kdera less than 60, we say no, so this Kdera is Asr. And then it falls into another Kdera, so it's also Asr, continuously Asr.
Right, that's what I think when we're Rosh Hashanah. I can't promise.
I just pointed out, it could be that the
Svarav Lachashulcha, but this side is only especially from what I just said here, correct. Okay.
We said before that it'll be
Batu
Barov.
Hmm?
You said before that it'll be Batu Barov.
Yes, in other Chatichas. I mean, Barov B'Yamesh or Barov or Bekol Shehu B'Lach. I mean, it'll be Batu that I want to get mixed with. Okay. So this is the famous Machlokas, Tur and Rashba, which, again, the code word for that Machlokas is Chaticha Einan Asas Nevelo Korja Svardim, but is Eftrel Soto Asar or Mutter? Does the Chaticha itself stay treif or become Mutter when we paskin stays treif? When we say that even by heter onions, that are just milchik and then go into Fleishik Pat, that's the Machlokas Achronim that we learned earlier.
To clarify before, in the Nachmina of the... Originally, this word called was smaller volume Kedera. So, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, he would say that it's.
What I'm saying is, let's say you take this piece out afterwards,
yeah.
And then you cook it with just 2 ounces of soup. Did it make those 2 ounces of soup treif? According to the Aruch HaShulchan, it might. Because maybe this time the blea will come out.
Right.
And according to the Aruch HaShulchan, of course not. It only has a kulshu. Okay, that is, this is, of course, this whole nafkin originally is only for Sephardim, don't say Hanan. For Ashkenazim, the whole piece is Hanan, and there's nothing to talk about. What do you mean stays straight, doesn't stay straight? The whole piece was Hanan the whole time. So what would Ashkenazim say? Let's just go to the Ramah and read what Ashkenazim say. Ulufim Ashenogin lomar v'chol yishor v'chatiha nas nevela, in chilek v'in devalach l'riyavish, elo l'inyan zeh. What would Ashkenazim say? Let's just fill in here. Achinu bnei Ashkenaz. For Ashkenazim, we would say, if the Kedera is less than 1200. It's all usser, right? Because you need Kadega the whole piece. And if the Kadera is 1200 or more, then it's mutter, but of course the Chaticha stays usser. That goes without saying for Ashkenazi, the Chaticha's Chanan. Of course it stays usser no matter what. Right? So that's what he says. Then you need 1200, and if there's 1200, then the chatsupa is mutter, but the chatiba is usher. If there's less than 1200, then the chatiba is all soup usher. And what would be if it was liquid for Ashkenazim? We would say also, if you have 20 liquid, remember, if you don't have some meruba, we say even by liquid chanan. If soup is 1200 or more, it's all mutter. Right? Likewise for Ashkenazim, meaning if the soup is 1200 or more, you can't say that original piece of soup is still usser because you can't find it anymore. Right? So it's not shy to say it's still usser. And that's what he says for Ashkenazim. For Sfardim, either way, you only need 40 in the container, whether it was a chatik or a liquid. And the difference is, if you had 40, it's machlokas rishonim, and we're machmer that the piece stays usser, but liquid is mutter. Say for Ashkenazim, you need 1200 either way. And if you had 1200, a piece would stay usser, but liquid would be mutter. And that's what he says here.
You know, that's assuming you can't find it?
If you can't find what? No, assuming you can find it, then it's usser, you throw it out. There's no difference between lach and yavish, except for this one thing. If what was originally usher is a dry chaticha, the shishim keneg do, and there's 60 times the whole chaticha, ha-chaticha neseres mitchila nishar b'yisur, the chaticha stays usher, for Ashkenaz and Pashin stays usher, because it's chanan. V'tzarech lasir misham makir, and you have to take it out if you can recognize it and throw it in the garbage. V'v'einu makir, what if there's a lot of chatichas and you don't know which it is? V'tein l'meinu chatiru l'skabit, batol, as long as it's not real as kabit, the Shach points out the Lavdavki, even if it is real as kabit, it's buffalo, it's only usher machzor's pliya. Bimu davar lach, hakol mutter. Of course, it's davar lach. If you have 1200, then it's all mutter because you can't find the original piece. Ba'ayin le'el, me'ach yivashiz neg mashenes v'chil, as long as it's 60 times the whole thing that was first. Asher ba'ayin le'el, so in tzadi vi, tzadi test, all these halachas. Okay, this is the basic halacha of Bichol Mashishim, Lefi Ashkenazim, and Lefi Sfardim. And I just pointed out, this whole Indian, the Rashb and the Tor, has some nafkamina even for Ashkenazim in this onion case, where you'd want to know, because it's not shy to talk about chanan. Milk and onions aren't chanan, right? Onions were never usser, according to most poskim. You want to know if these onions, the bliya leaves them or the bliya is stuck in them. Okay, sif, that's sif aleph. Sif beis is more straightforward. It's also the Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sif beis says, chaticha sheish v'chilev. A piece of meat with chalev stuck to it. Remember, in the old days, what was always the problem? Chalev, if you may recall from high school biology, comes attached to the basar. That's how it is when the animal's alive. So if the menaker forgets to cut off a little piece of chalev, then you put the basar in and you say, hey, someone forgot to chop off a little chalev here. So you have here a classic case, a chaticha piece of meat that has some chalev attached to it. And it's bashla b'kdeira sheish v'shish l'atla chalev that was cooked in kadeira that is 60 to mivatla l'chalev. So, the whole soup is kosher. What's the problem? First, sorry. Certainly, Zershal Yosser Shem Dover Me Akadira Ba'uda Chatichas Isser Besocha. The problem is, you might rest on your laurels a little too quickly. What happens? I have a piece with Chalef. What's my case here? This is a sick phase. Here's my Kadera. Let's say the Kadera is 60. And here's my chaticha with chilev attached to it, right? The chilev is 1, the chaticha is 2, let's say. So, 1 to 60, it's bottle. What's the problem, says the Mechaber? The problem is, we assume, remember we mentioned it earlier, you never know when the tam will come out of the chilev and go into the pot. When it's cooked enough, the tam and the chilev go into the pot. Every minute we free chosheish, maybe this is the minute, this is the second, the tam and the chilev will go in the pot. So what does the Mechaber say? Right now it's kosher, right? The chilev is batel b'shishim. What's the problem, he says? The problem is, I'm going to say it's kosher, great, who wants soup? And I serve one kid soup. What happens when I serve one kid soup? I take out soup. Now there's less than 60 left in the pot. And maybe now the tam will come out of the chalev and after the whole pot. It says you have to be careful not to remove anything from the kedera as long as the isser is in there. She's allowed in the chilev. So we're afraid this piece will be left in this pot when there's not 60 anymore, and then trade up the whole pot. Right? Even if there's like 600. If I keep serving enough people soup, it'll get to less than 60, and if that chilev's still there, then it'll be trade. So I can't serve anyone soup. So of course, what would you say? No, you fool, don't serve people the soup. Rather, what should you do? Just take out the chilev.
Also, wouldn't you be able to serve up until that 60?
Yes, but it's going to be hard to remember, so he's just giving you good advice to just not serve.
Yeah, if it's a really big soup.
Right, he's just giving you good advice. But the Gan Loi Tzeh Netchila says, no, and don't think the answer is to take out the chilev. Don't take out the chilev either. Why? That's good advice. Shechilev Shva Yeser Osa. Because the chilev stuck to Basar. If you take out the chilev and the Basar, as soon as you take it out, now there won't be shishim, and it'll answer this piece of meat, and you lose a piece of meat, which is also worth money. So the Mechaber says, here you're stuck. If you lay left soup, you'll trafe up all the soup that's left when it goes to the shishim and the pot. If you take a plastic fork and take out this piece of meat with the chilev, you'll trafe up that meat, because now it's only two, once it's out of the soup, it's only 2-to-1 ratio, and you lose 2 ounces of valuable meat. So rather, what should you do? Meaning, we might say, so I'll throw out 2 ounces of valuable meat. What if it's not only 2 ounces? What if it's a big piece of meat that's worth money? So what should you do? 1 second, the only way to not lose any money is to turn off the flame and let it sit till it becomes cold. Once it becomes cold, then you can take out the chalik, so that it's cold, there's no bleus anymore. Throw out the chalik, and then reheat it and serve it.
If you could also add some other meat. Not
about meaning you could add more to the soup.
And then take out the piece of meat.
Okay. No, because once you took out the piece of meat, this 2 ounces of meat will become treif.
You add additional 2 ounces of meat. A comparable
piece. No, but it's attached to the chilev. Right, this is stock. There's 1 ounce of chilev stuck to 2 ounces of meat.
Right.
If you take that out.
The meat, which is 2 ounces, which is not attached to the chilev, you take extra 2 ounces of meat, which is not attached to the chilev whatsoever, and put it in the soup, and then remove the 2 ounces of meat.
But now you'll have to throw out that 2 ounces.
Right.
I know, because you're a rich American, so you think you can afford to throw out a piece of meat, but what if you don't want to throw out a piece of meat? If you don't want to throw out a piece of meat, meaning your other option is just to throw out that piece of meat. Take it all out and throw the piece of meat in the garbage. But if you're more frugal, then your only option is to let it cool down, then take out the meat when it's cold, cut off the chilev, throw it in the garbage, put the meat back, and then warm it up again. Of course, that maybe that costs more gas. I don't know, 30. Not according to Sfardim. Sfardim don't hold the issue double thing. So that's what Sfardim would say. The chilev hasn't answered anything yet, but you better be careful, because if you take out the meat, it'll be only meat and chilev, and then it'll answer the meat. And if you take out soup, there might be less than 60 left, and it'll answer everything. What about Ashkenazim?
Forgetting about the thing of Hanan.
No, even without Hanan, if we hold the Bitzer Dovah, we should say that piece of meat is treif anyway. Yeah, this piece of meat, this too green, and they became usher. Why should we become usher? No, the chalev didn't go into the meat any more than it went into the rest of the soup. So it got less than a 60th chalev. What about Ashkenazim? Ashkenazim have iser davok lefima de kaimla chatira nas de vela meisira chatira sur misham vashar mutter. What do Ashkenazim say? Ashkenazim say that if we're macher in iser davok, we say the chalev already went into the meat and trafed it up. So therefore, this meat is trafed anyway. You might as well throw it out. So there are two differences in Sfardim and Ashkenazim. What are the two differences? For Ashkenazim, one, the meat is aser already, so you might as well just take it out and throw it out. What's the other chumra of Ashkenazim over Sfardim? How big of a pot do you need?
60 times 3.
Exactly. You need 180 in the Kedera, because we Ashkenazim are machmer, that meat already got asered by the chilev, so it was doubled to it. Therefore, now you have 3 ounces of treif, so you need 180 ounces in the soup, and you might as well just pick up the meat and chalev and throw it out, because they're both treif anyway, so you have nothing to lose. Or if you're Sfardi, who's rich. Again, the 2 ounces case, but you never know what the case can be. Maybe it's a case where you don't want to lose that meat. Then you can also throw it out.
According to the Kivagers and the standing of the Rashba, there's never like a time limit where you know for sure that everything came out of this event equally?
No, it doesn't matter, because Ashkenazim have the chumra of Isser Dovuk, which means this meat is Hanan. What's Hanan? Who cares what happens?
No, not according to Ashkenazim. According to Sfardim,
Oh, according to the Sfardim, it doesn't matter. According to the Sfardim, that meat never got...
Why does sorry, I had to remind you. According to the first part of the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch is saying, don't take out part of the clear, or maybe it will be 60. But according to the way the
Kibbutz and the Rashba. No. That was only a Chatzich with an external Bliya. Here we're talking about the Chelev itself. The Chelev itself, we're never sure when the Tom leaves.
Well, we're sure the Tom leaves eventually? Or we're not
No, not even that. This whole Rabbi Kibbutz and Rashba was only a Chatzich with a Bliya from outside it. Not an actual piece of Treif. Actual piece of Treif, for sure, we're never sure that the Tom will ever leave. Okay, that's Simon Kufav. Kuv Zayin we'll look at very briefly. Kuv Zayin is very, very complex. However, it's time to look into the Rishonim and the long Shachan Tazir will. We're not going to go into all the details. We're just going to see it Bivkiyas. Simon Kuv Zayin. Din Avashel Beitzim Dibri Mios Hanim Tza Betavshel. Beitzim is... okay. Hamavashel Beitzim Harvim Vipasim. If you... cook a lot of eggs in their shells. What do we call cooking eggs in their shells?
Hard boiling.
Hard boiling, or soft boiling, yeah. You hard boil a lot of eggs in their shells. Like in yeshiva, right? You could cook 100 eggs in a big pot. Lo yotzia mi'amayim shenisfash lehem. You should, this is a segue from the previous simon, you shouldn't take out the eggs until they cool down. Meaning if you cook a pot with lots of eggs, you shouldn't pour or take out some of the eggs. You shouldn't empty the pot till it cools down. That's a big chumrah, right? You shouldn't empty the pot till it cools down. Why? It's an Eitzah Tova. You're not saying it's Osir. You're just saying as an Eitzah Tova, just like Kovav Sifek, it's an Eitzah Tova. It's not Osir. If you want to treif up your food, you can. You're just silly, right? So Kovav Sifek didn't mean Osir, right? As a matter of fact, he probably didn't use the word Osir. He just said, Sarkli Zahir. As an Eitzah Tova. This is also an Eitzah Tova. If you want to take a chance on having Yisurim, you can take a chance on having Yisurim. He's the Eitzah Tova if you don't want to lose money. What's the Eitzah Tova? If you cook a pot of 100 eggs, don't take out some of the eggs or all of the eggs until they cool down. Or either wait for them to cool down naturally or artificially help them cool down by pouring in cold water. And then take them out. Why? Well, it would be so bad to just take out the eggs like a normal person. Okay, this is less likely, or perhaps we should say not likely at all. Highly, highly unlikely nowadays. But you might find that one of the eggs has a chick inside. And an egg with a dead chick inside, meaning if an egg has a chick inside, you leave it under the mother till it hatches. Great. That's wonderful. That's how we get normal kosher chickens. But an egg with a chick inside that is dead is treif. Whether it's treif d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but it's clearly treif. An egg with a chick inside is treif. So what are we afraid? Yeah, nowadays we're not afraid of this. None of our eggs have chicks inside.
This is different than a blood spot.
Different than a blood spot, correct. A blood spot, so we have more kulos. This is different. This is an actual chick. Oh, a chick means you actually see a chick. It looks like a chick. You open up an egg. And when you crack open the egg, instead of seeing an egg, you see a chick.
A blood spot is just much earlier in the process.
So there are two kinds of blood spots. We should discuss this sometime. You're a bach and married people, I discuss it with the wives and the drashiyah. We're going to be the first. There are two kinds of blood spots in eggs. All right, let me take a tangent to discuss blood spots in eggs. Even though we don't have the Shulchan Aruch in front of us now, you can either take my word for it, or if you're a real gavra, you know, go home and look it up in Shulchan Aruch to see if I'm right or wrong. Blood spots in eggs. There are two kinds of blood spots in eggs. One kind of blood spot is caused by embryonic development at an earlier stage, like Zev just suggested. An early stage of embryonic development. Therefore, you find blood, and it might be from the development of an embryo. And we say that if you find the blood on a certain part of the egg, and then it's a big machlokas, and we don't so much know what part of the egg is bad, what part is good. So basically, if you find blood that might be from the development of a chick, the whole egg is treif. Because it might be that the whole egg has an embryo in there, and all you see is a little blood, but the whole egg is treif. That's why there are people who say the whole egg is treif. So,
why is it treif?
So this is a big machlokas, actually. The Gemara says, doesn't help us from Rosh, Shodi Tekla Bakule, because it spreads its destruction to the whole egg. What does that mean is not 100% clear, so it's a machlokas, whether it means that if you find blood in one place, there might be blood absorbed that you just can't see in the rest of the egg, but it's still, you know, bedenosing tam. Or it might be that the whole egg is considered nevelux, this is a dead embryo, and therefore the whole egg is considered like the, it follows the embryo and is all treif. So, if you find blood, I'll put it on the board in a second, blood, the Gemara says ala kesher, or ala kesher next to the kesher, if you find blood in certain parts of the egg, it means the whole egg is treif. If it might be from development of an embryo. So, however, what if you know it's not from development of an embryo? How would you know it's not from development of the embryo? Exactly. If it's not fertilized egg, how do you know the egg's not fertilized? Because there are no males around, right? There are no males around. The eggs aren't fertilized, right? Hens lay eggs once a day. Whether they're tashmish with roosters or not, they lay eggs once a day. If they have roosters, they have marital relations. They're not marital. Then the rooster, the agent tashes the rooster. The rooster puts the sperm into the hen. The sperm goes into the egg, and you have sperm and egg cell, and a chick could grow, and that's a potentially live egg. If the hen is in a nunnery, then she produces the egg anyway, but it's just an egg without any sperm cells, so nothing could ever grow there. Why would there be blood spots in an unfertilized egg? What is it called in halachic lingo, the unfertilized egg? Safna me'ara. Safna me'ara is seated by the ground, meaning the biological processes go on and she lays an egg, even though she's just sitting on the ground and not with any roosters. So an unfertilized egg might still have blood spots, but that blood spot's not from embryo growing. There's no sperm cell. It can't be an embryo. That's just from, like, a burst capillary during the development of the egg that left a spot of blood. And in that case, it's not shadi tichla v'kule. Then it's not, then only the blood spot is usher. So just to review the halachos of eggs, there are two kinds of eggs. There are what used to be called regular eggs, fertilized eggs, and there are unfertilized eggs. These are called safna me'ara, and these are called regular eggs in the time of Chazal, right? In the time of Chazal, most hens, they were all free range, I think we call it, right? They had access to roosters. Nowadays, the hens that lay eggs are in factories, and they don't have access to, I mean, that's far from the worst of their problems, that they don't have access to roosters, right? They don't have access to anything. But some people eat free-range eggs. Free-range eggs might be fertilized. Regular supermarket eggs are not fertilized, even if they're organic. Organic doesn't mean that they're free-range. Organic doesn't mean that the hens have quality of life. Organic, it still means that they're locked in a cage their whole life. Organic just means that they don't give them chemicals. Free-range eggs are very rare. I mean, unless you go a place like that, Ayin's Po, where people just have chickens living with them, then they get their own homemade free-range eggs. Or there are people who are very... It's not an environmental or health thing, but like animal rights things, they adopt to buy free-range eggs because they don't want mistreatment of hens. Okay, so fertilized eggs are very rare nowadays. Unfertilized eggs are standard because they're factory farmed. What's the difference? If you have blood here, the blood is due to a burst capillary. It's not any type of embryo. Therefore, the blood spot is usser, the egg is mutter. However, if you had the regular eggs in the time of Chazal, those are dealt with in the Shulchan Aruch, but that's not the regular case in the Shulchan Aruch. If you have the regular case in the old days, fertilized eggs, then it depends. For sure, the blood spot is osur, and we say the whole egg might be osur, depending on where the blood was. After all, even if you find blood in a fertilized egg, who says that's an embryonic chick, and who says that the whole that represents the whole egg? Maybe it's just the first capillary, maybe it's just a drop of blood. So Chazal gave us rules, which the Ramah says were no longer b'kiyum on how to apply. If you find in this part of the egg, then only the blood spot's usher. But if you find in that part of the egg, the whole egg is usher. And the Ramah says, since we're not b'kiyum in these rules anymore, it's machlok to be shown where all the rules are, and then it got too complicated for us to apply, therefore, we are always machmer, of course, the whole egg is usher. Now, why do I still want to tell you that it's a suffik? Because this will explain one psak of the Ramah. Meaning, the whole egg might be usher. It's not fadei usher, it's suffik usher. So, therefore what? Psak of the Ramah, again, the Sfardim seem to be more bekiyim in knowing whether the egg is usher or not. If you, anyone have... where does this come from? Where does this start?
I don't know. It's in here.
The beginning of...
Oh, Beitzim is in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Hilchos Beitzim. I will just... Oh. No, hold on. Take that back. Hold on. Apologize. It's not in Hilchos Beitzim. It's in Hilchos Dam, because it's talking about the Dam of Beitzim. So I will read you, I'm going a little out of order, Simin Sadi Vav, if Zion, Beitzim Hamuzaros, unfertilized eggs, that's what the pronouns explain.
Samech Vav.
Samech Vav, it's not in Hilchos Beitzim. Hilchos Beitzim are about, if you see an egg, how do you know if it comes from a kosher or trace species? Like, Simonim, like the Harshmini for eggs. This is the Hilchos Dam, it's inside it, Samach Vav. Beitzim Zoros, Afilu, Yashvar, Tanagol, Salim, Yom, Harbi, Motul, Achim, Vachi, Yuzur, Vadam. Unfertilized eggs, even if the hen sat on them. Again, if there's no sperm cell, there's no embryo growing, then even if the hen sat on them, nothing is going to develop there, because there's no genetic material. So, you can eat them and just throw out the dam. The egg is kosher. That's easy. What about you? Because pasul only grew up, but they're still goat. It's still dam, even for a birth capillary during the formation of the egg. It's still blood. You're not letting blood. Now, the truth is, it's only dam beitzim, so it's only rabbanon. Lemais, at least the rabbanon were gozer that they didn't want you eating any blood. So you have to throw out the blood spot and eat the egg. However, what about regular eggs in their days? Meaning, our regular eggs are unfertilized. What if their regular eggs are fertilized? So halacha is, in yadua shehu... If you find blood, only the blood's usher, the egg's mutter, if it's in the white. But if it's in the yellow, then it's all usher. And then the Ramah says, no, it depends if it's on the thick part of the white and also outside of it. And some people say even if it's on the thick part of the white and not outside of it. For Ashkenazim, lesser kol beitzi yishva dam ve'ein machalkin.
Kolbeitz of a fertilized egg?
Yes, of a fertilized egg.
So unfertilized egg. So
yeah, this is still not fertilized.
The eggs we get in the supermarket, you can just...
I know, correct. A fertilized egg, says the Ramah, no hagim lehachmir lesar kol habitza.
Which sif is that?
Sif, this is, sif, I'll point that out, thank you. What did I say? I said I'm in Samech Vav. Gimel, this is Samech Vav Zayin. If you put it together, Samech Vav Beis, it seems like the kind of dam that you just threw out, the dam is only Asher Drabbanan. The kind of dam that Asher the whole egg might be Chashash D'Oraisa. Now, says Ramah on Kula, we Asher in the fertilized days, back in Europe. In Europe, I just want to explain a minute from Europe. In Europe, all the eggs were fertilized. I mean, we didn't know if they were fertilized. They might have been fertilized, right? I mean, they might. You can never be sure an egg is fertilized, right? Even if there was pashtus between a hen and a rooster. You don't know necessarily the egg got fertilized. But pashtus, where most of the eggs is fertilized, regular eggs. So, if there's a blood spot, you threw out the whole egg. Anyone know a minig they have from Europe about hard-boiling eggs?
Three, right?
Well, actually, that's a more machmer version. You need at least three. Mispar lo zugi will come back to. I think that's a mistake. You need at least three eggs. If you ever have grandparents don't remember. If you have great grandparents, maybe from Europe or from the Lower East Side, etc. Everyone knows that you make your eggs
You're not allowed to hard-boil one egg or two eggs. You go to your great-grandmother, you ask, can you hard-boil me an egg? Of course not. I can hard-boil you three eggs if you want, but obviously it's usher to hard-boil one or two eggs. And I'm talking about Ashkenazim. Why? Because the Rama said, whenever there's a blood spot, we usher the whole egg, but me suffix. We're not sure. Because it's complicated. There's many different opinions as to whether the egg is usher or mutter. And therefore, says the Rama with one kula. But Mikilin Lismoch al Bithel Berov Lebeitza Sheyesh Ba Tipasdam. We asked for the whole egg. But maybe the whole egg is also, maybe it isn't. Therefore, we asked for the whole egg. But if you cook the egg with other eggs, we'll say it's batel beruv. We won't require shishim kenegdo. Since we're not really sure the whole egg is usser, we make a pshara. We say any egg with a drop of blood might be usser in Europe. But it might not be usser. So what's going to happen? Hold on. You take an egg, you find a blood spot, you cooked it with a lot of things. Now it's going to usser the whole pot, and it's going to usser the pot also, and all the food, and it's a big hummus. So you say, no. You'll usser the whole egg, misafik. But since this egg is not really usher, it's just we're machmir to asher the whole egg, or it's a suffix of the whole egg, you won't need shishim kenegdo, it's enough to be batel beruv. Why? Because if you make eggs with eggs, it's min b'mino. Min b'mino, remember, nishbach means rov d'oraisa, and shishim is only d'rabanan. So bithel beruv, min b'mino. Remember, min b'mino, rov is d'oraisa, shishim is only d'rabanan. It's enough to have rov, you don't need shishim. That's the cool of the Rama. Why does everyone, why do your grandmothers, great-grandmothers always cook three eggs? So if you cook one egg and has a blood spot, you'll say the egg is treif, and now the pot will be treif. If you cook two eggs and one has a blood spot, then both eggs will be treif, and the pot will be treif. But if you cook three eggs and one has a blood spot, you'll throw out the one with the blood spot, but you'll matcher the other two, and you'll matcher the pot. Because the one egg with the blood spot is batel beruv, so the two eggs are now the blood spot. Min d'oraisa, min b'mino rov is enough. And even though drabbanan we need shishim, our mother's making in this case, since it's only a suffix, yes or not to need shishim. Where is that? That is in Se'ef Dalid. Says the Rama, "Am I a suffix in makom osur olo? Yesh lahatar a tarovis whole of a lava chichad betray batel."
So if you were to find, I think it's down to two of the eggs, then the whole pot and everything would be
okay. Correct, but the odds are slim.
To the hermit, first of all, you not to go far back so far. When I grew up, it was not an assumption, halakhically, that the eggs were unfertile.
Correct, you don't have to go back that far.
Second of all, nobody cooked eggs in a regular pot.
Ah, so some people didn't want to rely on the Rambam so much. What they said is that we're not going to rely on the Rambam so much for a regular pot. But if we have an egg pot, then we'll rely that it's good for other eggs, because after all, other eggs are min b'mino anyway, so it's more mako. So some people had a special egg pot. And they said, we're not going to be able to cook anything else there, because that's a shasha min be'eno mino, and then it's more chomer. We'll only cook eggs there. If all we ever cook in this pot is eggs, then it's only shasha min be'eno. You can always rely on bithel beruv, and you have no problem.
So what the people used to do is they used to cook eggs. You could sort of shim rim.
Well, then they could just throw them out of the gummer.
And then sabet, that's a revolutionary stock on opening up.
Ah, right, some people, in order to avoid cooking eggs in regular pots, would cook them in cans after they empty out the corn or whatever's in the can. And then it became a chomer to Hilchos Shabbos, because if you use the can as a pot after you open it, then it's more chomer to, you can't open it on Shabbos. Okay.
The bittul beruv is necessary for the tal of the egg.
The egg! The blood is always batel b'shisha.
When you say chanan, you say such a chanan, or the egg itself,
the egg itself, the etzem is the suffix yisr. Yes. Yes. The minna is the suffix yisr. Yeah, chashash. Okay. So therefore, no lahakim lechem kol beitza, but if you cook it, the blood spot is always less than a 60th. But we're chosheish, the whole egg is usher. But if the whole egg is usher, and there are two other eggs, it's batel beruv. That's why in Europe, or even growing up in America and Israel, one generation ago, we always cooked at least three eggs. Now, really, based on this logic, you can cook four eggs also. Because even if one is treif, it's batel beruv. It doesn't have to be an odd number. It just has to be three or more. Some people started thinking you have to cook an odd number because, like, they combine this with Gorm Psachim, that, like, the Shadim comes to you even numbers. But that's not correct. The real minig is three or more. If you're three or more, then if one has a blood spot, it's batel beruv. You're allowed to cook four. So it doesn't have to be an odd number. It just has to be three or more.
The water would also help to be mevato?
No, because the water's not min bimino, so you need rove of min bimino. That's why you need two more eggs.
If you had a really big pot.
Oh, if you had shishim in the water, that would be good enough. But that's not common. Usually people don't cook that way. Correct, if you had shishim in the water, that would be good enough. But to use the kul of rove, you need eggs, because it needs to be min bimino. Okay, this is now, here I'll explain two things. Number one, if you have halach l'maisa, if you have a fertilized free-range egg, or you were living 50 years ago, then if you find a blood spot, it's all treif. And that's why we always at least three at a time. Some people had a special egg pot, so that it wouldn't treif up the pot, because you'd at least have rove, which works on a d'oraisa level, and then you could be makel to say maybe the egg really wasn't treif. Me d'oraisa, it's bato. And maybe it wasn't treif in the first place, so we could be makel. Nowadays, all our eggs are unfertilized. I mean, they're made in factories. There's no farms any. I mean, they call them farms, but they're factories.
Not allowed to sell according to the rule.
Maybe you're not even allowed to sell fertilized eggs. So, all our eggs are unfertilized. Therefore, even if there is blood, you can just take the blood and throw out the blood and eat the egg. However, there's a famous machlokas between nowadays, Rav Moshe and Rav Vadya. Rav Vadya says, Mutter, nowadays our eggs are not fertilized. If you have a blood spot, throw out the blood spot and eat the egg. What's the problem? Rav Moshe says that he has this chumrah in Ein Hefsek Klal. He says, if you are so rich, like Americans, that you don't count your eggs, meaning if you dropped an egg on the floor, okay, it would be a mess on the floor. If you dropped an egg on the street and didn't have to clean up the mess, you wouldn't feel like you lost anything. Yeah, it's an egg, it's garnished, it's nothing. Like, so he says, nowadays for us, our eggs are not a hefsek at all. We're so rich, no one misses an egg. If your wife sends you for a dozen eggs, you bring back 11 eggs, she says, oh, I really, she doesn't say, oh, you lost an egg. She says, okay, whatever, 11 eggs, 12 eggs, what's the difference? Therefore, since we Americans are so rich, says Rav Moshe, we don't miss an egg. He says, what if just in case it was a fertilized egg, even though it's very rare, what if like somehow some rare occurrence happened, something strange happened, just to be on the safe side, he says, he has a new chumrah. He says, just to be on the safe side, just in case, if you won't miss it at all, you might as well be machmir throughout the whole egg. Which is why in America, if people find a blood spot, they throw out the whole egg even nowadays. Because Rav Moshe says, since it's very, very, very cheap and no one will ever miss it, just in case maybe it was a fertilized egg that snuck in, even though the odds are 1 in 1,000,000, you should be machmir if it's so easy to be machmir and you're not going to be upset at all.
Why don't Ashkenazim say Hanan to the blood spot to the rest of the...
First of all, because you haven't cooked it yet. Why don't we say it's kovash in the egg? It's a good question. Or sometimes even less than a 60th of the egg. And the other answer might be because it's not cooked. What about after you cook it? Usually you don't find a blood spot after you cook it. Our blood spots nowadays are pretty small, and usually they disappear when you cook them. Usually. But it's an interesting question.
So the whole chashash of cooking three eggs is...
Doesn't apply nowadays.
But even when it did apply, that was only... You wouldn't open the egg after and find the blood spot.
Oh, you would, because in those days, they had bigger blood spots because the eggs were fertilized and because the technology it's pretty rare to find blood spots nowadays in most eggs. Sometimes people mistakenly think they have blood spots. If they have brown eggs, sometimes inside they have brown patches. Those aren't red. The reason why we have fewer blood spots nowadays is not just because it's unfertilized. It's because they scan with a bright light that shines through the translucent shell with a computer and take all the eggs with blood spots and make them grade B. You ever wonder what grade B eggs are? Doesn't mean they don't have a nice shape. Like, there are no, like, eggs with bad corners or, you know, like the wrong angles. The grade B eggs are often the ones with blood spots. Because what they do is they have a bright light, it shines through the shells, the shells are translucent, and then they have a computer reading on the other side, and if it sees that it was blocked by a circle or something, then it puts me grade B. So we don't see it that often, and what we do see are small. In Europe, the blood spots might have No, but it doesn't... Hold on. The reason you need three eggs in Europe is because maybe the whole egg was trained. Not just the blood spot.
Right, that's right.
Right.
You know,
okay.
I'm not sure about this question because it's very hard to get at.
So I saw
an early question because once the law.
I saw Rav nowadays who said even Rav Moshe's chumrah was only in his days when it was rare to have fertilized eggs, but still could happen once in a while. Nowadays, it's not even rare; it's impossible. So he says, I know some rabbanim say that even Rav Moshe would be more than to be makel nowadays. Even Rav Moshe was only machmer in like the transitional period when they were going to factory egg farming, but they weren't 100% there. But nowadays, even Rav Moshe would be makel. So even Rav Moshe, question mark nowadays. We'll put a question mark by Rav Moshe nowadays. So this Rav Moshe is a big kula. Ravadia is straightforward. He's telling what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Unfertilized eggs, you throw out the blood spot and you eat the egg. Rav Moshe has a big chumrah. But even Rav Moshe's big chumrah was A, only if you won't miss it at all. Right? Meaning, let's say it already mixed into your cake mix or something and then it's expensive. Then of course Rav Moshe wouldn't be makel. He would just say, take out the blood and throw it in the garbage. Let's say you cracked two eggs into a bowl and found a blood spot. Rav Moshe would say just about the blood spot. Two eggs is already, that's worth money. That you shouldn't be machmer on. Right? So let's say you're making a recipe and you only have just enough eggs in your house and the last one you have a blood spot and then you're not going to be able to make your whole recipe. So Rav Moshe would say just throw the blood in the garbage and eat the egg because over here you will miss it. He was only saying when mamish, like you don't care about the egg. And even then he was machmer. Maybe that was only in his days. In his early days, when you could 1% of the time find a fertilized egg. Nowadays, not 1% of the time, it's 0% of the time. So it's not clear if anyone would be machmer in this. So Lokal HaMaisa, and two things to remember about the Chumrah of Moshe. A, he's only machmer when you're not going to mind at all. If it's going to have some bad effect on you, he wouldn't be machmer. He's only machmer when mamish, you won't miss the egg at all. It's like sometimes someone goes, I'm making a cake mix, and I put in the egg, and I didn't look at it first, and I found a blood spot in my whole cake mix tray. Of course not. Here you're going to miss it. Right? Just throw out the blood and eat the rest of the egg. And number two, it's not clear if Rav Moshe would still say it if he was alive today. Nonetheless, in America, the minig is like Rav Moshe. And if people find a blood spot, they throw out the whole egg if they're not going to miss it. So if you live in America where the minig is like Rav Moshe, you should keep up that minhag. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not clear that you have to keep up that minhag.
In terms of Metzias, we had this just the other day, that Mari found red in the egg, two eggs in her hand. I was like, this is weird. So I asked her, did she drop the shell in the egg? And she said, yeah.
Nowadays, sometimes we find red, it could be the ink of the stamp on the shell.
Stamps are all red, so they rub off.
So, I mean, if you cooked for long enough, you could tell the difference between them.
The Bein Rav Moshe, Bein Rav Avadia, the minhag to check one egg by egg before you put it into like the grater, that's not necessary.
Well, even a Rav Avadia might say it's necessary. So if there is a blood spot, you'll see it and take it out. Because if you mix them all together, then you might be hard to see it.
If you have like five eggs together, why wouldn't you see it?
Okay, that's fine. I mean, it should be practical. But it could be that even Rav Avadia would admit that they, to make sure that if there is blood, you at least take out the blood. It would be better to check them one by one.
There's a Tosfos in Beitza, I think, that says that checking bags for blood is only a chumrah.
Okay, you have to show it to me. The truth is not clear nowadays. Same with the shotness and everything nowadays. It's not clear if in Dina you really have to check for blood spots at all, because whatever's a meal chicken a month, so you remember we learned about that with bugs? Like, if blood spots are rare, then maybe you shouldn't have to check for them at all. But, nonetheless, I think the many from people still check for blood spots, even if they're less than 10% or less than 5% or whatever. I think the many of standard from people still check for blood spots.
If you hard-boil the egg, you'll see afterwards the blood spot.
And are small blood spots nowadays, you won't see them after you hard-boil them.
In fact, it's much as a hard-boiled egg.
You know, obviously. Yeah. That's partially. The question is only with hachila. Like, if you... The question is only with the extra. The question is only with the extra. Okay.
What
so...
Is that, what does that have to do with shotness?
With what?
Did you say shotness?
As shotness is the same shotness now. If someone buys cheap suits nowadays, do you have to check them for shotness? If the odds are only 1% or 2%.
Just don't rely on it. If you want to lessen... How much sleeve is just a replacement in a sharp? sweaters there hanging there, okay, simply from the snow. There's no such thing. It's mostly vod ech.
Okay. So, Lemaisa, I think the Minig B'nai Torah is certainly the check for Shatnez. You know, how much it is, you have to do statistics. Meaning, if you have a Shatnez lab and they have 40 things with Shatnez there, that doesn't make it much, so you have this 40 out of how many?
So it's not the way it seems from what you said. It's Matsui, it's okay. What it is, and there's so much import. You have to remember, there's so much import today, and once it's imported, it's more problematic. In Israel, the manufacturers don't use Shatnez because they won't sell it. But the imported goods are not that way.
Yeah. With expensive suits, apparently it's one of these strange things someone said in the Shatnez lab, that the cheap suits hardly ever have Shatnez. The expensive suits often have Shatnez. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Maybe it's just somehow the Tumah of the Gashmias brings about the Tumah of the Yisurim. Unclear. Okay, so this is just a little bit of a sikum on some simanim we didn't do about Hilchos Beitzim, Dam Beitzim. Again, the difference between fertilized and unfertilized. Infertilized, the origin of the minhag to cook three eggs, which then morphed into a minhag to cook odd number of eggs, which is not necessarily based in halacha. And nowadays, the pashut pshat, like Rav Avadya, is not machadish anything. He just tells you to do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Moshe has this chumrah, which if he were alive nowadays, we're not sure if he would say or not. And even when he said, he only said it if it won't bother you at all. But in America, I think people are still machmir like this, Rav Moshe, at least as of the last time I lived in America. Even though the situation nowadays is definitely different than in his days. But if anyone buys free-range eggs or something like that, or you buy, like, stam eggs, you know, like the Haredim used to do from the Palestinians for Pesach, that you don't know where they came from, then you have to treat them as fertilized eggs, and then you have to be more machmir and cook three of them at least at a time.
Just one more comment on Shabbos. Today it's accepted that if you read what's put into the garment, you don't have wool or flax, you can rely on it because if it's in there, they'll tell you it's in there because it makes the vegan more shabbat. That's one of the cooler things.
Right. Yeah, I think you'd be right. Even among the B'nai Torah, if it has neither wool nor linen, then people are so much on the fact that, you know, what are the odds that it's hidden? If it has either wool or linen, then certainly the minhag, you know, that I'm familiar with the B'nai Torah, whether that's a strict in or not, is to check it for Shatnez just in case it might have the other one.
Not just in suits and everything?
I mean, suits are the thing that men wear that often as wool, but there could also be wool sweaters, and that would be the same thing. I mean, I think wool sweaters are more expensive. I don't know if, like, I think it could be that wool sweaters are more higher class, and maybe we don't often buy wool sweaters. But yeah, theoretically, wool pants, you can buy wool pants. Even though jackets are always much worse than pants, because they have like the collars and such, but still, pants could have. So I think that's the, you know, Minig B'nai Torah. If it's wool or linen, check in case it might be both. If it's neither, if you buy it and it says 100% cotton, or, you know, 55% rayon, 45% polyester, or whatever, then we say, okay, the odds that it has officially neither, but snuck in both, those are too small to worry about. Okay, Kuf Zayin, again, we're not going to be Ma'ayin, just see the basic idea. Now we're getting back to our taste, and here they're worried about a Beitzas Efroach, although a Beitzah with Dam in the old days could be as bad as a Beitzas Efroach, which is discussed by the Shach here. Meaning, you should wait for it to cool down before you take the eggs out of the pot. Why? You might find a dead chick in one of the eggs. He's talking here if you do a shishim. You have a pot with eggs with shishim. What's the problem? If you take out the pot little by little, maybe the treif eggs will be in the bottom when it's less than shishim and make everything treif. And therefore, you have to be machmir. The Rabbah continues, if you didn't do this, but you poured them, it doesn't mean dump them all at once, then they'll all break. You poured them gently into a bowl, right, or into many bowls. The nitzachim treif, and you find one of the eggs is treif. Yesh osur makol. Okay, there's yesh osur makol. There's one daya in the smag, he quotes from the riva, that if you cook a lot of eggs together, we'll see, the same thing applies if you cook a lot of fish together. Right, you cook a lot of herring, and then you discover one tray fish in there. You cook a lot of eggs, you discover one tray fish in there with a chick. Right? That even though it's batei b'shishim, but if you empty it out slowly, it's still going to be treif, because maybe you took out half of it, and what was left was less than shishim, and once what was left was less than shishim, at that moment, the treif thing gave its time and asked for all the kosher ones. And that's a mashabit deira, and therefore whatever was left will be treif. What about what you already poured out? That won't be treif, but then when you pour it, what's he worried about?
Well, what you poured out could be treif.
One second.
No, it would be in a cliche after you poured it.
If here you have your pot, and there's this one treif egg, and the whole pot is, let's say, 100. So you'd say, no problem, if you find a treif egg, it's fine. That's if you let it cool down. But if you pour it, then what might happen? The one will be treif here, and there'll only be 50 here, and you'll be pouring, and there'll be 50 in here. So if you pour a little, then you stop. When you pour half of it, this one might be left with only 50. You'll make them all treif. And then, when you continue pouring, and all 100 are in here, the 50 that became treif will make the 50 in there treif. Okay, without getting into the details, because those are very complex.
Ramah was talking about the same thing as the Machaber, just used different terminology.
Yes.
Started using the word treif.
Yes. Yes. The same thing applies to small fish. And into the tummy bakar, if you find accidentally one tray fish with all your herring that you're cooking, and you didn't pour them all at once, obviously if you pour them all at once, then there's no problem, because you pour them all at the same time. But let's say you pour them little by little, it's the same problem. Maybe you'll be afraid that the isser was on the bottom, and when you poured out, there was less than 60 left with the tray fish, it asked for all the other fish, and then when you poured all the now tray fish that became chananed onto your other fish, they made them asser too. The yesh, that's the riva. However, the rash mishans, the yesh matir v'chol inyan, some people are matir, delo machzikinan isser lo mar denisher ha isser below shishim. We're not machzik and isser, nope. If we see their shishim, then we don't have to worry about maybe this happened. The chain ikker, the Ramah is mako. The Ramah says b'di'evin. This is all b'di'evin. The Ramah's not mako l'chachila. L'chachila, he says, don't take your chances here. Now, of course, by us, we're not going to find a chick in our eggs, so we don't have to worry about this. And we never cook big pots of herring that might have trade fish in them. You know, so we don't have to worry. I don't know if there's a scenario that comes up nowadays that you're cooking a lot of things and one of them might turn out to be treif.
In factories, no?
Maybe in factories. I don't know how factories work. Could be. But in any case, he admits l'chachila, if we would have a scenario nowadays where you cook a lot of things and one of them might be treif, cook more than 60 of them, let them cool down before you take them out of the pot, or dump them all out at once. That way you won't have this problem. But b'di'evet, the Ramah says, you don't have to worry that maybe this problem happened, because we're not machzik isser. This is a big machlokish shach and the taz. The shach and the taz actually do not like the psach and the Ramah. They want to be a little more machmir. And we're not getting into all the details here. So here's an interesting one, says the Ramah. Even the osrin would admit the pot is mutter. Why? Because the fish and the eggs don't have such a good cheskes heter. Because there's one treif one in there which was touching some of them clearly. However, the pot is a good cheskes heter. And therefore, the pot, you can be mounted in the cheskes heter, and even the osrim we make on the pot, the shach says, but they'd still tell you wait 24 hours till it's only a shayla of drabbanan, and it's not, and it's nosen tavos gam.
Why
did
only the pot go cheskes heter?
So the achronim say, because the eggs, since one of the eggs was treif, and it definitely touched some other eggs at some point, so the cheskes heter of the eggs has a reyes in it.
Wait, the egg also was cooked in the pot.
What?
It's cooked with the pot just the same way it was cooked.
No, but
the
in the eggs, there's one treif egg.
We know what's the treif egg.
So therefore, that takes away from the. Not only that, in the eggs, there's one treif egg, and it's mixed in them even after you pour it out of the pot. And it for sure touched some of them.
If it sure touched the pot, then the question was if shishim or not.
No, because when it touched the pot, there was water, so its taste dissipated throughout. It touched some of them even after you poured it out, and when it was landing, it asked you to take klipos of Eroi, and therefore, it gets very. I don't want to try and fully justify it now. Okay. Sif Beis, however, is something which could be more common. We saw this once, but we'll chazer it now. Flies and other disgusting things that people are grossed out by. Shenimta b'tav shel, that you find in your tav shel. Zorko v'tav shel mutter. You throw out the fly, but the tav shel is mutter. She'en plays var el pugumen oseris. Even if the fly is more than a 60th. Even if the fly is more than a 60th, let's say you have a very small tav shel, and the fly is more than a 60th, still, your whole tav shel is mutter, you just throw out the fly, so there's no sin tam lufgam. The principle is, all disgusting, creepy, crawly things that are gross, their taste is considered no sin tam lufgam. This is a big machlokis. If you look at the Shas of Katan Zion, he starts with, I'm just going to read till we get to the part that's relevant. The last Shas of Katan Zion, the anu machzik and akafa yishaitik wa akdira atmi yachshu tzi atmi akdira otakas bukhachu pli vishal lachomer kakas v'isra etzakal kov Zion din beis. Ula inyan is rov oser b'tamo. It's the time of a fly or other disgusting thing makes something treif. The Rama agrees with the Mechaber and others who are Mahter, who say the taste of a gross thing is pugum. But Tema, because many Roshonim Rechonim Asherim, Kachos Vesra Heter Klachov Zayn de Chinogin, the Isra Heter was Machber, Kachos Marapadwa de Chinogin, Kachos Marshal, the Isra Heter Shalom, who was Sifro Perkin Anoshis and Memtes, Mikabolas Maharash, the Chinogin. The Shach, this is a famous Bachlokas between the Shach and the Mechaber Rama. The taste of disgusting bugs.
Right, ta'am of zvuvim udvarim meusim. The Mechaber and the Rama say it's nosing tam lefgam, and it will never ask for your food. The Shach says it's nosing tam lefshvach.
No, it looks gross, but it really has a good taste. You're just prejudiced. Really, flies taste good. You're just prejudiced against them. And it has a good taste. And therefore, it will, if it's more than a 60th, it will offer your stew. Now, this is an uncommon scenario. What are the odds you're going to have more than a 60th flies in your cholent? But theoretically, the shach would be machmir. However, he says, mi makam hefsim rubo shasad chak, v'chi agam, v'nirad nasmar impad, v'chuvah lahatir. However, in hefsim rubo shasad chak, he's meko. V'kach kem pasuk abach, miu bechal v'shuch l'kuli alma aser. However, in beer and vinegar, remember, we said even mice aser, so even flies aser. This is a big machlokas. We saw earlier in the Piskei Tshuva, in Simen Kuf, that the Achronim agreed with the Mechaber and the Rama. If you look in the Prima Gadim here, he says, someplace here, the Prima Gadim says, really, we are Nagel. So you have to remember, Mikel, that the time of disgusting things is considered nosing tam lifgam. But again, there's not such a big machlokas, nafkamina, between this Ramah and this Shach, because usually if a fly falls into your cholent, you have shishim kenegdo. You know, so it's sort of a more rare nafkamina when you don't have shishim kenegdo fly. But nonetheless, the minhaga olam is to be Mikel like the Mekarim Ramah and assume that the time of fly is pugim. That's what the Rama says there. V'chein minig pashut. The minig is pashut. The widespread minig is to be makel on the time of flies and disgusting things. Avgad liyish machmirin. Even though some rishonim are machmir, jivrim kiel me'ikr. Mekiel me'ikr ve'in l'shanah. So minig, you shouldn't change the minig. The minig is l'hotel. So even though the shach did try to mishanah the minig anyway, the later achronim agreed with the mechaber and the Rama that the taste of flies is, and other bugs and gross things like that, is tam lefgam.
Doesn't matter that it's beer yet.
Oh, we're talking about if it has the taste, but you don't have the actual fly. Let's say you took out the fly. Then it doesn't matter that it's a birya.
Didn't you say somewhere, I can't remember, like the same time on Rosh, the Mechalik, if it's the way it was created with the problems, then if it is good, it's not the shvach?
No, that's talking about if the be'en is there.
That's just leaving birya again.
That's leaving birya. Okay, and then the end of this is a very complicated Indian, which the Shach gets into a lot of the Chach, and it's not clear exactly how to justify. We'll just read through the Ramah. Remember, Dag Tame has a good taste, tray fish. If you took with a spoon a tray fish from your pot, you found a tray fish, so you took it out with a spoon. Oshar Dabrashino Pogram or other things with a good taste. Also Ashar Kabik Deer, you can't put the spoon back in, because now the spoon became treif, right? If you took out a good tasting treif thing, a piece of ham or a piece of treif fish or whatever, you know, you see a piece of, I don't know, oyster or something in your stew, so you take it out with a spoon. Of course the spoon became treif. You're not allowed to put the spoon back into the pot. It's pashit. And if you do put the spoon back, you need, and then it's going to make your stew treif unless there's 60 times the iser. Lo neged kolakaf. But you don't need 60 times the whole spoon. We don't worry about chanan and the spoon. We only need 60 keneged the iser, not the whole spoon. Why is a big machlokas achronim and is a big mystery? And the shach is an answer, but it's very difficult. If you take out, so what is it? If you take out with your spoon a piece of treif fish, then it makes a spoon treif. And if you put it back in, you need 60 times the treif fish. But he's not worried about the chanan of the kli here, because he's willing to be making a lot of chanan of the kli. It's not clear why. The shach has one opinion. The easier opinion is he's willing to make a chanan of the kli because since it absorbed and it was already out of the pot, maybe it wasn't a kli bisha. However, if you take out a treif fish with soup and then you put the soup back in the pot, that soup did become chanan. And therefore, you need 60 keneged the soup. So basically, if you do find a piece of treif in your stew, the best thing is to take it out with a chad pa'ami utensil. Or if you do take it out with a regular spoon, kasha the spoon before using it again. If you take it out with a spoon with some soup, throw that soup in the garbage and don't put it back in your pot. Okay, we'll pick up next time Amir Tzashem with Simon Kofches. We'll have time to prepare Simon Kofches. Kofches and Koftes. Our plan is Kofches and Koftes, we will try to learn up properly. Kuf Yud is very lumpish and very important, but it's a bit of a mind shein la'em sof. So Kuf Yud we'll do highlights of after we finish Kuf Ches and Kuf Tes, and then we will go on to Hilchos Machlei Akum and Hechzer Kedem. What?
Which Simonim of it?